But we have three speakers tonight. We have three speakers tonight. We've asked three young people to speak. All right. And the topic is knowing God's will. And so we have asked them to speak. And I believe Sister Carly Decker is going to be the first one to speak tonight. So let's pray for Sister Carly.
Okay, so I'd like to start off with prayer. Dear Father, thank you for everything that you've done for us. Please calm my nerves, help me get out what I want to say. Help all the other speakers. Amen. Amen. So I'm speaking on God's will for our life, and the definition of will is command or desire. So like when we're talking about God's will, we're talking about his desire for us and what he desires our future to look like. So when looking through scriptures one night, this one really stood out to me. It's John 1:13, and it says, "Which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." So we have two choices. We can either go with the will of self, which is our will, or we can go with the will of God. We can choose to do what God wants us to do, and we can follow his will, or we can choose to go our own way, do what we want to do, and just ignore God's will. 2 Samuel 22:31 says, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all of them that trust in him." So in this verse, it says that God's way is perfect. So if we follow God's will, then we can know that is perfect. So why would we want to go our own way when God has our whole life planned out, and he even made sure it's perfect? But just keep in mind, just because his will is perfect, it doesn't always mean that it's going to be easy or we're going to like it. We're going to go through things and we're not going to like it, and it's going to be pretty hard on us. Another verse is Jeremiah 29:11, and it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God's way and his will, it won't give us a bad ending. God made sure that our will is to end peacefully and perfectly. One question, it said, "What should you do when God's will is not clear?" And so just pray, and it wouldn't be a bad idea to ask others to pray too. People such as godly grandparents, your parents, youth leaders, godly saints that you trust. I've asked family to pray before, you know, like during family devotions, and at different times when I have had different situations come up. It would be better to pray and make sure that what you're praying about or wanting to do is in God's will, rather than just going ahead and doing it and regretting it later and realizing that it wasn't in his will after all. So just wait and make sure that what you want to do is in God's will. So another question said, "What should you do when God's will and yours are opposite?" And so just accept the fact that what we want in our will isn't always what God wants included in his. We know that his will is perfect. So if he's telling us that something in our will is not something that we want in our will is not in his, then we just need to accept that and trust that God has something better planned for us. He has our whole life planned out before we're even born. And so sometimes we can't control what's in his will for us. And I have personally experienced things in my life that I couldn't control. So for example, most of you know, but I was born with a cleft palate. And for those who don't really know like exactly what it is, it's basically like a hole on your palate, or when you're like missing a piece of your palate. And in my case, I was missing most of my soft palate. And so before I was even born, God had it in his will that I was to be born with a cleft. And I have come to realize that I just need to accept that. Throughout my life, I have had struggles and challenges because of the cleft, and I'm actually facing a few of those struggles now. But for some reason, God wanted this in my will, and there's a reason, even though I don't see it now. Right. Through my struggles, I need to understand God is doing this for a reason, and he'll help me through them. I don't know why. I might actually never know why a cleft palate was included in God's will for me. But God's way is perfect, and he'll help me through everything I need to have to go through. And I just need to trust him and trust that he knows what he's doing. Even though I don't like the struggles I'm going through, I don't want to have to go through them, I just need to trust him that he's going to work everything out. So just always remember that God's way is perfect, and if we follow in his will, we shouldn't have to worry that something's going to go wrong. He knows what we need, and sometimes he knows him better than we do. So when he creates our will, he makes sure that we have what we need. So just always trust God and know that he's Always trust God knows what he's doing and trust that he'll take care of you.
Very good. Amen. I think about that song we sing often as a congregational song, God's way is best. God's way is best for me. And so we appreciate Sister Carly, appreciate the thoughts that she brought. Sister Elise Bremer is going to be our next speaker, so let's pray for her.
The topic of my lesson tonight is God's will through trials. So there's a wide variety of trials that people go through. There are long trials and there are shorter trials, but regardless, trials are sent to help us. God sends trials to grab our attention and to bring us closer to him. In the midst of a trial, it is very difficult to understand why you are going through what you are going through. This is why it is very important to pray and look to God to help you through it. Last week, I came to the realization that throughout this trial I've been going through, I have been asking God to bring me out of it and just let me be happy, when I should really be praying for God to give me the strength I need to go through it. This reminds me of the saying that says, "Grow through what you go through." God sends his people these difficult times to strengthen them, not to break them down. Romans 5:3-4 says, Romans 5:3-4 says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." Trials are sent to us to improve our spiritual walk with God. The verses that made me realize that I shouldn't be praying away my trials are Ecclesiastes 3:1-4. These verses say, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance." We must go through every season of our life wholeheartedly and with an open mind, because we are here for a reason and we are going through these trials for a purpose. It is important to put your trust in the Lord during your trials, because he will help you. Psalms 28:7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him." Staying on the topic of trust, Psalms 31:1 beginning says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." If you turn to God, he will lead you and help you through the trial you are going through. God's intentions are always good, and he always is doing things for our best. He only sends trials that he knows we have the strength to go through, with his help, of course. Oftentimes, when going through a difficult trial, it is hard to stay encouraged to pray, because sometimes the answers you get are not always the answers that you want. But as Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." I know that everyone always says to pray, but it is truly so important to stay encouraged and pray. God will bring you through. Romans 12:12 says, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." So going through trials, you must be patient and keep praying. Lastly, I want to read Romans 15:13, which says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost."
Amen. We don't like to go through trials, do we? But sometimes those trials are very, very necessary. Very, very necessary. Helps us grow. And sometimes trials bring on growth that nothing else will. And so we appreciate Sister Elise and her thoughts tonight. So we're going to ask Brother Lucas if he would come deliver his thoughts. Let's pray for him.
I am very nervous, so I'm going to start out with a prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the good service you gave us this morning. Please help us now. Help us to deliver the thoughts you gave us in the way you want us to. Help us not to say anything we shouldn't. Calm our nerves, and please be with us in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Okay, so if I had to title the thoughts God gave me, it would be finding and staying in the center of God's will. So when someone says God's will, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? I wrote down just a few: marriage, college, maybe a career. And these are big, important decisions in life that we definitely need God's direction for. But as I was studying these, God began to show me that we need to be looking for God's will every day and through everything, not just when big decisions come. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." So verse 6 says that God will direct our paths, and in order to direct them, he must have a plan or will for them. But to which paths is he referring? The beginning of that sixth verse says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him." We are not to seek God's face for the big decisions or paths only, as we're instructed in verse 6, we should look for his will in all our ways. Verse 6 contains the promise that God will direct our paths, or you might say show us his will, but only if we acknowledge him in all our ways. How can God direct our paths in the big decisions if we're not looking for him to direct the rest of our lives? Now, God has promised to direct our paths, but how do we know what God's will is for our lives? So, some of God's will is stated specifically in the Bible, and I have scripture for him. John 6:40, and this is Jesus speaking, says, "And this is the will of them that sent, of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So the scripture shows that it is God's will that everyone be saved. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So it's God's will that we be thankful. And then the final thought on this that God gave me was Romans 12:2. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So it's God's will that we be a separate people. Now, while some parts of God's will is stated specifically, you probably won't find, "Brother Cucumber, you are going to marry Sister Onion over there." Or, "Thou, Brother Carrot, shalt go to Texas and preach the word of God." Then, if we can't find this in the Bible, how are we supposed to know God's will for your life? Well, God gave me a few steps. The first is to put God first. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." If we put God first, he will be faithful to show us his will. The second is to ask God. Who knows God's will better than him? If we're looking for God's will in our lives, why not go straight to the source? Matthew 7:7 says, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." And then number three is read the word of God. We listed off some of areas of God's will that were specifically stated. But along with these in God's word are principles and concepts that can help find God's words. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness." So it states that God's word will help instruct us in the way we should go. So we've covered how to find God's will, but now what are we supposed to do if God's will is unclear? Oftentimes, and I'm sure many of us have had the experience, when we're looking for God's will, we'll be doing all the right things, and yet God doesn't seem that it's time to reveal his plan to us yet. So what should we do? The first thing God showed me is keep doing what you know is right. The second is to stay put. And when we're doing all the things but God still doesn't seem fit to share his will with us. Sorry, I have repeats. Okay, so back to keep doing what you know to be right. Often when things seem unclear, it's easy to get discouraged. Remember that God has a plan and he knows what's best. Isaiah 55:9 says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Even though God hasn't answered you yet, take faith that he's working, and keep walking in the truth, and he will show you what his will be. The second thing God showed me to do is not to make your own decisions. Often when we don't get the answer in our time, we tend to make our own answer and keep going. However, this often leads to great trouble. When God doesn't give an answer right away, it's usually because, at least in my experience, he wants us to sit back and wait because he's working on opening a door that we can't see yet. In my own life, God's shown me this. Recently, I've been going through a situation where it seemed like I was faced with hundreds of decisions, and looking at each decision, it seems like each was clouded in a fog. So I'm standing in the middle of this cloud of fog, and I prayed and I struggled because none of the ways I could see seemed like the right choice. And it seemed almost as if in that moment that God couldn't see what God himself couldn't even see which way I should go. But I stood still and I kept praying like God showed me. And if we continue with the picture of the fog around me, it seemed as if a light shone down a path that I hadn't even seen. And the situation turned out way better than I could have ever imagined. So sit tight and see that the Lord has a plan, even if you can't see it yet. So the last point that the Lord gave me was, when God does show his will, it's important that we stay in it. So I have a little bit of a demonstration. Imagine here around me a giant circle. Now, if I'm standing in the middle of this circle and Brother Drake comes up and pushes me, how likely is it that I will step out of the circle? Not very likely, because it's huge and I'm in the middle of it, right? Now, if I'm on the edge of the circle and he pushes me, how likely am I to step out?
Really likely.
Much more likely. That's how God's will is sometimes. When God shows us what to do, if we do exactly that and obey him fully, it's like being in the center of that circle. When the devil tries to push you out and tell you you're wrong, you're not likely to fall out. But if you're only halfway do God's will, or if you say, well, I'll do it, but I won't like it, it's like standing close to the edge. When the devil comes and pushes at us, and he will, and he tries to get us to falter in faith, it's much easier to fall out of that circle. So I'd like to close with a song. You don't worry, I'm not going to sing it. But it's titled Center of Your Will. And the second verse says, "Sometimes it's a mystery I don't always understand, just where you're leading me. I don't always see your plan. Oh, but I've come to trust you, Lord, and to love you greater still. There's a cry deep inside of me for the center of your will." Then the chorus says, "The center of your will is where I want to be. No matter where it takes me, no matter where it leads, I'll follow you all the way. Your plan I'll fulfill. Forever I long to stay in the center of your will." Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
I keep telling our Sunday school class that because I want participation, and I tell them there's no wrong answer. I just need you to speak up, tell me something. So Sister Lauren turned that back around on me. There's no wrong answer. But anyway, we appreciate our speakers tonight. You know, as I thought about each of the thoughts that they had brought, you know, Brother Lucas, he talked about, you know, in finding God's will, put God first. I think that is the key thing when we are looking to find God's will. We've got to put God first. And so, anyway, ask God. You know, sometimes, I know as children, there are some of you as children, and maybe even as teens, that you don't take no for an answer. I remember our children. I know our grandchildren. When they want something, they will just keep, "I want chocolate, I 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 want chocolate." And then usually they'll wear me down, right? So what do? I give them chocolate. Same thing with our children. Our children did the same thing. I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. And finally, after a while, and so, you know, Jesus talked about in one of his parables about the unjust judge, right? And this woman came to him constantly. And the reason why that he granted her request is she came to him repeatedly with her request. And so keep it before God, young people. Keep your request before God. Whatever his, you know, in seeking his will, you've got to keep it before God. And then also, reading the word. A lot of times we can find that wisdom that we need in finding God's will in the word of God. And then also, I thought Sister Carly brought this up, is seeking counsel. Seeking counsel. Why? Because the Bible tells us there's help in a multitude of counselors. And so, young people, go to your pastor. Go to your godly parents. Go to your youth leaders. Go to someone that will pray with you, work with you, help you. You know, because it's very, very important, because there are going to be some decisions that we make in this life. We can't do this on our own. We can't do this on our own. And as Brother Decker brought up Wednesday night, you know, especially when it comes to choosing a companion, talk to him. Because I know that there's a lot of background, maybe about this particular person that you maybe are seeking to date or you know, considering marrying or whatever. There might be some background that the pastor knows about that will help, you know, in getting that guidance that you need. Also, I thought when Brother Lucas brought this up, when God's will is unclear, keep doing what is right. Keep doing what you know is right. And, you know, there's been a couple young people that maybe has been discouraged because they just weren't getting, you know, God's will. And that's what I kept counseling them to do. Do what is right. Do what you know is right. Keep following God. Young people, get involved in the work of God. Those are the things that are necessary and will be helpful to you when seeking God's will. And so, and you know, as I thought about this, you know, as Sister Carly was speaking, especially, you know, even Jesus, he struggled with God's will, didn't he? He struggled with God's will. His flesh did not want to go to the cross. He knew what he was going to endure, right? And there's a lot of times, if we really knew what was out ahead of us, we would go, I ain't going to do this. But Jesus knew what was out ahead of him. That was his mission. That was part of his mission that he came to earth for. He knew that he was going to have to suffer. He was going to die for our sins, right? But when he went to the garden, how many times did he pray?
Three.
And the very last time, what did he say? Because he really struggled the first two times, right? Thy will be done, right? Thy will be done. That's where he got the victory. And young people, sometimes when we struggle, when our will, what do you want to say, kind of comes up against God's will, we have to come to that point and say, Lord, your will be done. Lord, your will be done. And that's where we're going to get the victory. That's where victory lies, is when we say, Lord, I'm going to lay my will down and your will be done. Your will be done.